pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your blessings in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst the world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
Thank you, Tom. Amen. What if the trials of life are mercies in disguise? That's a wonderful message. Thank you for that. Would you please stand with me for the hearing and the reading of this morning's gospel message that comes to us from John's gospel, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 17. Hear these words. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with them." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. For flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' For the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "Well, how can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And so ends this, the reading of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to be seated. And I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of grace, God of glory, God of promises and God of promises kept, we thank you always in every way for the gift of your holy word, for your word gives us life. It opens our eyes, it opens our ears, it opens our hearts to what you are saying to us. So Lord, we pray for the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit in us to remind us of everything that we have heard from your scripture today. Emblazon those words upon each and every one of our hearts, that we might be formed and transformed by those words, and that we might be and become the people that you created us to be. Children of God, not born of a natural descent, but adopted members of your family, so that we are heirs, co-heirs with you. And we can cry out, "Abba, Daddy, Father," and be confident that you hear our prayers. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For this in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. Well, today, these scriptures that we have heard from Romans, and then now from John, where Romans is talking about being born of the Spirit, and because we're born of the Spirit, water and the Spirit, that we can cry out, "Abba, Daddy, Father," and be confident that God knows us as his children, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. And then we have this reading that comes to us from John's gospel today, where Nicodemus, this Pharisee of Pharisees, comes to see Jesus at night. Can you imagine Nicodemus had a reputation. Nicodemus, all the tradition tells us that he was a very rich man, very learned man, and he's not just any old Pharisee. He is the teacher of Israel. He's got a high-ranking place in the Sanhedrin. And yet, he says that we know that you must be from God, because certainly no one could do the things that you have done if God were not with them. And Nicodemus is right about that. He's absolutely right on target that nothing that Jesus was doing could have been done if God were not with him. And now, Nicodemus didn't at that time know that Jesus is God in the flesh. Today is Trinity Sunday. We celebrate the Father, the Son, and God's Holy Spirit, the three-in-one presence of the totality of God. God is never divided. God is always together. God is always with God's self. And so Jesus, the Son of God, is speaking with Nicodemus, and he receives him well. And when he hears the platitudes that Nicodemus gives to him, he doesn't say, "Oh, thank you for that, attaboy." He challenges Nicodemus because he knows Nicodemus needs to drill down further. He knows that Nicodemus needs to get to the bottom of it. And so he challenges him and he says, "No one can recognize the things of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Then Nicodemus, whether he's being intentionally argumentative as a Pharisee, because that's the way they would be, they would parse the scripture and they would talk about things and they would meditate in such a way that they would ask questions of the scripture, and he's asking questions of Jesus. How can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born a second time? Jesus doesn't say he's ridiculous or anything else like that, but he says to him, "You are Israel's teacher, and you don't know these things?" See, Nicodemus should have known those things because he didn't have the New Testament in his hands. We have it today. We read from the New Testament and we know who Jesus is. We learn from the New Testament, but they were working out of the Old Testament. And Jesus is all over the Old Testament. He shows up everywhere in the Old Testament and he fulfills the Old Testament. But what Nicodemus had in his hands was the Old Testament. And when he heard the words, "You must be born of water and the Spirit," Nicodemus, who is the teacher of Israel, he knows this stuff by heart. He should have thought, "Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, I know what this is. I've heard this before. I've taught this before." Hear these words from the prophet Ezekiel in the 24th verse of chapter 36. This is Ezekiel speaking for God. "For I will take you out of the nations." He's talking to the people of Israel who have been scattered. "I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people. You will be my people, and I will be your God." Nicodemus, who's this teacher of Israel, should have, when he heard water and the Spirit, this should have popped up in his mind. He should have said, "Oh, you're talking about Ezekiel. You're talking about newness of life. You're talking about God doing what God does, and that's salvation. That only God can do it, that we can't get there on our own. We need God's help." And that's what God is telling the prophet Ezekiel. "I will do this. I will bring you out of the scattered lands. I will bring you back to the country that I gave your forefathers. And I will put my spirit into you. I will sprinkle you with clean water. And you will be clean. I will remove your heart of stone and we replace it with a heart of flesh. And I will cause you to follow my laws and my decrees, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Jesus goes on to tell him about who he is, and that he says these words to Nicodemus, for God, well, he says this first, I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then do you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross. So the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. He's talking about himself. He's talking about him as the Son of Man, as the Son of God. And then he goes on to tell Nicodemus, for God so loved, come on, you know this one, for God so loved the world. Yes. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Amen. That's why we're here, right? We believe this. And because we believe it, we're born of water and the Spirit. We have new vision. We have new life. We have power from the Holy Spirit. That's what we talked about last week. The dunamis power, the dynamite power that God gives to God's church. And he gives us that power to be used. He gives us that power so that we go into the world and change the world by living godly lives, by loving our neighbors as ourselves, and by doing all the things that he did. He tells us before he goes to heaven, he says, I am going to the Father, and because I go to the Father, you will do greater things than I do. Why? Because I'm going to be sitting at the right hand of God the Father. I'm going to be intercessing for you night and day. You're going to have the power and the presence of our Spirit, the Spirit of God that proceeds from the Father and proceeds from the Son. The Trinity works all together in the people of the church. That's the power that we have. It's not our power. It's his power. But it's an unbridled power when we profess, when we proclaim, when we live according to God's will, not our will. Now, you know, we all have our own wills. I have my own will. You have your own will. We like to go our own way. We like to do our own thing. You know, Burger King, have it your way, right? But Jesus says, when he's saying his prayer, Father, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. When we say that same prayer, we find out that God works in us powerfully, dunamis, dynamite. He works in us in a way that's transformative not only for my life, but for the lives that intersect my life, for the people that get to see me being one of God's children. That I can cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father, not to say, oh, you're not one of us. No, to invite people in so that they too might experience the kingdom of heaven here on earth, even as it is in heaven. The power of the Spirit in water and spirit. A couple of weeks ago, we were here for Beautification Day. A lot of the trustees were out. We were doing stuff in the gardens. And Dottie and I, we were on the wall. We had the power washer on that staircase that's going up from where the food pantry is up to this top area. And that wall has been, you know, it's had years before it's been painted. It still needs the paint, but we had to prepare it for paint. And it had mold on the top of it, and there was all this scale. And we're over there with the power washer blowing the moss off. Dottie was there with the scraper. Boy, she did a good job. She did a much better job than I did. But we're there with the power washer to bring that wall back to new life, to give it a new vision, if you will. Jesus, when he's talking to Nicodemus and telling them about being born of water and the Spirit, is so that he might have his eyes open and that he could see how God is operating even in his own life. And he was operating in Nicodemus' own life, even in asking the question, because we learn from it. We get this account in the book of John, and we learn from it. Now, when Nicodemus departs from Jesus that night, we don't know. We don't know if he ever got it. We don't know if it ever rang a bell in him. But John doesn't leave us hanging. And I love that about John's gospel. It's pretty clear. He doesn't leave us hanging. Because when Jesus, when he was teaching at one of the festivals, and the guards came back, and they asked the guards, "Did you not arrest Jesus?" "No, we didn't arrest him because he had words that no one has. We couldn't arrest him. He made sense to us. Are you fallen prey to him as well?" And so they want him to be, even before, they want him to be arrested so they can contain him because they saw Jesus as a threat. But Nicodemus speaks up at this point. And he says, "Hey, we don't condemn anybody until we hear them. Why don't we hear what he has to say first?" And they look at Nicodemus like, "Well, you from Galilee too? Search the scriptures. Everyone knows the prophet or the Messiah does not come from Galilee. He comes from Bethlehem. Come on, Nicodemus." But Nicodemus speaks up in the midst of all the rabbis, all the Pharisees that he was a part of. He's no longer in the dark. He's now speaking in the light. And then when Jesus is on the cross and he gives up his body and he dies, who is it that comes to retrieve the body? Nicodemus, along with Joseph of Arimathea. They were both secret followers of Jesus. But now they here are in the middle of the day, in the light of the day, in front of everyone that can gaze. And Joseph of Arimathea has the place for him to be laid. And what's Nicodemus bring? 75 pounds of nard. The amount that you would use to bury a king. So it tells us he had some bucks. But not only that, what it tells us is he recognized Jesus as King. King of kings and Lord of lords. He comes out of the darkness. He comes into the light. And he testifies by his own presence that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is King, that Jesus sits on the throne of his life. His eyes were opened, and he was able to see. It's told in a veiled way, but in a beautiful way. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world. Jesus, the Son, did not come in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. What a beautiful picture we have today. What a beautiful image we have today. How God so loved the world that he gave totally of himself, so that we might come into his presence and become children of God. Let us pray. God of love and God of light, God of sacrifice and God of grace, we thank you for the grace that you bestow upon each in every one of us as your people, as your children. You have sprinkled clean water on us in our baptisms, O Lord, and you have given us new hearts to follow you, so that you might be our God and we might be your people, that we can cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father, and be confident that you hear our prayers. We thank you for the gift of the whole triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we give you all the praise, we give you all the glory, and we give you all the honor. For you are God, and there is no other. And yet you invite us, simple us, to do God things in our lives so that others might know that our God truly is God, all to your glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen.